Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour. Here we are back again for another Sunday morning show with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry, and I hope you are enjoying your Sunday morning here. Well, at least until we got on the air. And hello, ladies. How are we doing today?
I know we have something that we want to talk about, but I just want to let you know, since you asked, how am I doing? In case you hear dogs barking, scratching at a door, my mother fighting with my aunt. I am recording this with you guys today from my mother's house because my dad just had his second knee replacement this morning. And right before we got on this call, I heard from the doctor. So he's in recovery and everything went great.
Oh, wonderful.
But, thank you. Yes. So I'm very happy about that. But I locked myself in a back room, which my dogs are never happy about. So if you hear weird noises, it's not me, and I can't stop it. There's okay, some snorting, there's some scratching, there's some barking. It's all happening as I speak right now.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I'm glad you explained that, because with scratching, snorting, and barking, I could have possibly confused that for you, so I'm glad you told me it was the dog.
So, yeah, so that's where we are. And you know, one other quick thing before we really get into it, I'm noticing, so you, our audience knows that we record this on Zoom, although we don't, it's not like video, so we can just hear each other, but we each have an icon. And Frankenberry, your icon is from K104's Not So Silent Night 2020. We need to change that ish. Change it.
No, we don't, because this isn't my account. This is the station's account. So that's the reason that it says K104.
You get the president on the phone.
Yeah. Can you get somebody to get somebody's people? I've noticed that before.
Get the president on the phone.
It's not only holiday, it's over a year old holiday.
And it's 2020. We don't want to speak of 2020.
Oh,
2020 is dead to us. Dead to us.
Well, 2021's pretty much dead to us as well. So we'll call that a 2-year window of dead.
You get the president on the phone now. And we know you're important because you're important when you get random midnight texts from people, Frankenberry.
All right. Well, it wasn't actually a random midnight text. This past weekend on Saturday, I got a text that just said, and it was from a number I didn't recognize, and it just said, "How are you?" So I'm like, all right, fine. It's one of these phishing things, whatever. But just in case, I shot the text back, and just to play with it a little bit, who's this? But I didn't hear any response. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. Whatever it is, we're done. It's finished. I forgot all about it. And then Monday morning, about an hour before my alarm goes off, I hear a text message come through on my phone. So I waited till I got up and I took a look. And the text message says, "My name is Sophia from Korea, though I live in Detroit now. I was singing songs at the funeral of a friend last week. Where were you?"
How bizarre.
I'm like, yeah, that's not weird and creepy, huh? And random.
That is so. Did you answer this person?
Yeah. Well, actually, after I saw that, and I was like, okay. I just texted back with "lose my phone number." But I just thought, I'm like, even if that's a phishing type thing, that is a really strange way to go about it and try to convince somebody to get back to you.
You should have said, lose my phone number, Mark Zuckerberg.
or I thought I could have gotten back with, you know, when she says I was singing songs at a funeral of a friend, where were you? I should have texted back with, I was the one in the casket. you have a lovely voice.
Yeah, I miss you.
Was it a local area code? Like,
the area code was 917, but I haven't looked that up yet.
I think that's New York City-ish.
Yeah, New York City-ish. Interesting.
So, yeah, interesting indeed.
So I have a funny tech story, sort of. It involves one of our good friends and friend of the show. So, you know, our listeners will probably remember, we've had Deborah Hanlon, who's an intuitive medium, on the show a number of times. Yep. Not, I don't know, not, not recently, but she's a friend of ours personally. And from time to time, I communicate with Deb. And I just want to give you guys an example of how good she is at what she does. This is like a little spooky, but kind of funny. So I had to text her because a good friend of mine, who's never been on the show, lost both of her parents not that long ago, and they, like, close together until like just a few months apart from each other. Yeah, I know. Rough. And, you know, she's been really wanting to communicate with them. So she reached out to me and said, can you contact your friend Deb? And now Deb, I think, is shifting the way she works a little bit. So I reached out to her just to put this out there. Now, my friend's name is, I'll just make up a name. My friend's name is Susan. That's not her real name. So Deb gets back to me and she's, you know, explained, you know, that she's out not doing private readings at the moment right now. But she said, is this about your friend? And she names a different name because that person's been on my mind. And I, you know, I really would love to help her out. And isn't it funny that you text me now when that person's been on my mind? So I write her back and I say, that is not the friend I was referring to, but so freaking ironically, the name that she named was somebody who I've never mentioned to Deb before, but who recently lost a parent. And it's like Deb had tuned in to somebody else whose parents trying to get a hold of her. I know this person, but it's not the person I was texting Deb about.
Wow.
I know, I get chills. So I wrote her back and I'm like, how good are you? How good are you that you tapped into that? Like, it was just, to me, amazing. And I hope, you know, I hope she does a gallery or something soon, because it's just, when you're that good at what you do and you do something so unique, it's just amazing. So, you know, she's on, we've had John Edwards on a number of times who also does that. She's on par with him, in my opinion. They're both excellent at what they do.
She channeled my dad that one time when I went to her gallery, when her book In the Presence of Proof first came out, and her first gallery after that. This was pre-COVID. And I went to that. And so she'll start. She goes, okay, who's the train guy? Who's the guy that's crazy about trains? And I'm like, oh, man, I know this. I know what's coming here. And I mean, down to like wearing the conductor's hat. She goes, he's showing me his nerdy button down plaid shirt. I'm like, that's him. And then there was more, but it was wild. I was not expecting it. It was very cool.
Oh yeah, that is crazy, crazy good. But and it's hard to.
Frankenberry's like, what else can we talk about?
No, I know. What? I know, he's totally not into
it. I'm like, Frankenberry's like, what else can we talk about?
I'm sorry, my bad. You guys were talking?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Sorry.
It's all good. It's all right. We can get it.
We can move on to a topic that's near and dear to Frankenberry's heart. Plastic surgery. Okay, you can go back to sleep now, Frankenberry.
Yes, let me tell you about my buttocks.
Well, it just so happened that I had a little plastic surgery consultation.
Another one? Well, because we know you've had one in the past where I think a doctor looked at a couple of your attributes and said, they're perfect. You don't need to change them.
Yes.
Do we have to really keep talking about this? How many times we've got to bring it up?
Sorry, you're going to love this. But wait, you're going to love this, because my current plastic surgery consultation was 180 degrees different from that other plastic surgery consultation that I've been talking about now for a decade. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So our listeners might remember, you may not remember, I had a plastic surgery consultation years and years ago when I was thinking about getting breastises. And just so everybody knows, I never did get breastises. I never had any augmentation, but I did go for the consultation. And during the course of the consultation, the doctor said to me, and I quote, "They are perfect," end quote. Hence, I never got breastises.
Jonna, how unkind can you be to Carol? I already said that, and Carol said, "Can you stop talking about it?" And you had to go.
Oh no, no! Apparently, the answer to that question is no. So continue. It's okay.
Okay, so I'll make you feel better. I'll make you feel less like the puking emoji. Okay. So I go for a consultation, only this time I'm having a consultation about something on my face, something that all of us have on our faces and that we need to breathe through. So I go to this.
Pick me. Nose.
Carol, yes.
Nose.
Ding, 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 ding. So I go to a consultation with the doctor who does my Botox. Now, I readily admit I get Botox. I love it. I also get other procedures there. Like, I had a fabulous radio frequency facial, which was amazing while I was there for this consultation. So anyway, my doctor, and I'm going to name names. Dr. Ron Rubenstein, or Stein, depending on how you want to pronounce it, over in Newburgh. He's fantastic. He's also, sidebar, kind of cute. He's pretty handsome, you know, in, as far as doctors go. But I have him give me a consultation about my schnoz, which forced him to, like, spread it wide open and look all the way up inside.
So, now, real quick, before you continue with the story, I just want to ask you a quick question. Now, does the doc have pictures on his wall of possible choices of noises you can change to, like, say, I want the Jimmy Durante, or I want the Carl Malden. Possibly could I have the Wizard of Oz witch? Is it that kind of thing?
First of all, no. Second of all, now that you mentioned it, if you could have any celebrity nose on the planet, what celebrity nose would you want? I have an idea in mind for mine.
I don't know.
Never.
I don't mind my nose.
I will say, Jonna, that thought has never, ever, ever popped into my head.
That thought has never popped into your head?
No.
No, okay. I'm not famous, but I'll take my unfamous nose. I'm okay with my nose.
I think Carol and I are in agreement on that one.
Wow. Oh, you guys are so messed up. Man. You guys are messed up.
That's, that's right. Carol, you and I are satisfied with how we look. How screwed up is that?
Oh, God. I wake up every day and the first thing I say is, man, I wish I had somebody else's nose. I was thinking Jennifer Aniston. She's got an okay nose. It's not like too dainty, but it's not too big.
I wouldn't like that on your face. I like your nose. You're gorgeous. What did you specifically went in to see what you could do about your nose?
Well, yes. And let me tell you something, sister. So Dr. Rubenstein has got my nose, like, he's holding my nose open with, you know, whatever doctors hold your nose open with. And he's looking way up there and he's got to feel around and poke around. And let me tell you, he did not say my nose was perfect. Far from it. I got cartilage in weird spots. I got more cartilage over here, less cartilage over here. I got a weird little slope over here. I was born with a messed up nose, according to him. So now I'm like, oof, cut me open.
Oh, jeez.
But it's just very, nothing humbles a person more than having your handsome plastic surgeon, you know, with his fingers up your nose. I'm just let's leave it at that.
and tell you a load of crap so that you can spend money with him. Yeah, great.
No, that's not what he does. And just like I said, shameless plug for them. They didn't ask for it. They do fantastic work over there, by the way. That's my home away from home. But I haven't gone under the knife. I haven't gone under the knife with him. That's in my future. Because I think at some point in every woman's life, going under the knife is something that you do.
Yeah.
Frankie Berry, I feel like we should have told you to join the show like 20 minutes after or something.
That's a good point.
Talking to the dead to plastic surgery.
Yeah, because these things are so relatable for me.
But sometimes we don't know which way the show is going to go. In segment one, we just like to chat. We'd like to catch
sometimes
people up.
Sometimes.
Yes. Yeah, right. Jonna, that's right. Like every week is what this is, a better way to put it.
We like to catch people up and make our audience part of the conversation. Incidentally, are we up to 12 or 13 listeners now? Has anybody?
I think we're at a baker's dozen. I think we figure out we're at a baker's dozen last week?
Okay, good. Because Denise, who's one of our baker's dozen, she contacted me last week. You guys, I misspoke about something when I said, when we were talking about stuff on Netflix, and I said that there was a show about a guy who was able to con like some pretty smart women out of a whole lot of money. And I mistakenly said that that show on Netflix is called The King of Con, which is also a show, but that's Denise corrected me and I'm glad she did. That's not the show I was referring to. I was referring to the Tinder Swindler. Is a show. Yes.
That's
did you guys hear about that?
That's a witty name for a show. No, that's again, Jonna. Carol, let's make it 25 minutes now that I could have jumped in.
Frankenberry.
Oh, man. That's like to be the token male.
Do we want to talk about...
talking to the dead, to plastic surgery, to freaking reality TV. No.
All right. Let's talk about sweatpants, Bush Light in cans, and cats.
Oh, please.
We're not doing that either.
It's over.
Exactly. I'm not asking to talk about that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just trying to keep make you feel included, Frank and Barry.
I appreciate you, you know, trying to be inclusive like that. That's nice of you.
All right.
Would you like to spend the next 2 minutes talking about your favorite subject, Frank and Barry? Manscaping.
And again, let's make it 28 minutes because I don't know what you're talking about there, Spielboard.
Oh, my God.
And my favorite subject is manscaping. Yes, I can't wait to stand in the shower with a freaking clippers. Yes.
What was that tool, Jonna, that we had? We contacted the company owners and had them send us a commercial because it was so funny.
Well, I remember that.
Remember the name. Please remember the name. Please remember the name. Oh, it was so funny.
It began with man, didn't it?
Man groomer?
It might have been, but their commercial was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, I think it was the man groomer. Yeah, where they used trees and bushes and...
No, we did that when we talked about it, but... Yeah. Oh, my God. They even had to have, like, bleeps in their commercial. Anyway.
Didn't they send us one? I think they sent us one.
Yeah, I think we got promo package or something for it.
Frankenberry probably has it.
And that...
No, I have a pair of $18 clippers from Walgreens. That's it.
No, you guys remember that other company that sent us a sample when we talked about them, about it allowed women to pee in the woods?
The Pee Mate.
Yeah, that's it.
Pee standing up. Yeah, for women.
Yeah, they sent us one of those. You know what? We have to start getting some sponsors with some stuff that we really need, you know, like Rolex, Bentley.
Botox.
<P-mate>.
Oh my God. One quick thing before we I know we're gonna go to a commercial and I gotta announce our fabulous guest, but Frankenberry, don't forget. I don't know if we talked about this on the air, but we did this weird thing last year at my office where we didn't start till late in the year. So on casual Fridays, if you wanted to wear jeans, you had to put like $1 in this fishbowl. Okay. And at the end of the year, we're going to take all that money and donate it to the Hudson Valley Animal Rescue and Sanctuary. And I have a $150 check waiting for you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes. Nice.
Celia and the gang down at the shelter will be most pleased with that. Thank you very much. And thank you to everybody at your office for thinking about it.
That's awesome. Well, make some noise.
Yes, indeed. Nicely done. Now, what you need to do... is because I know you and I'm sure your employees are the same. You need to add to that a curse jar because we'll like triple the money.
That's a great idea. But and now we have a whole year. I know I did not miss it. I did not miss it.
Okay.
Frankenberry missed it. Frankenberry totally missed it. Okay. We'll pick that back up in segment three because what you missed was yet another fabulous thing to do. When Carol said, let's make some noise, she is referring to the latest book of the fabulous guest that is coming up after this break. We are going to be speaking with author, mentor, and certified life coach, Andrea Owen, who's written a number of books, but her latest is called Make Some Noise. And she is all about helping women, for lack of a better phrase, get out of their own way and get from where they are to where they want to be. So when we come back, we're going to make some noise with Andrea Owen.
All right, we're going to make some noise indeed when we come back. And if you guys don't hear me, it's because I'll probably jump in at about half hour mark. So anyway, the hour, it's happening with Jonna Spielboard and Carol Pesci. We are getting to our guest Andrea on the way, so please stick around.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci in segment number two. As always, we get to our guest for the morning, and we are going to be talking with Andrea Owen here. And Andrea, I heard something about we got to make some noise. Do I got to do some whoop whoops and put my hands in the air?
I would love it if you did that, 100%. Okay. Yeah, that's not exactly what the book is about, but yeah. Yes, please.
Okay, I'm doing that. Yeah, I'm doing that push in the air thing. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Before we do the woot woots, which I'm sure we're going to want to do in about 20 minutes, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Andrea Owen. And I also want to say that, you know, sometimes I think our audience knows, like, we choose guests that we think could be our new BFF. And that's how I found Andrea, because I'll tell you a little bit about her, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit more about her. Andrea is an author, mentor, and certified life coach who helps high-achieving women let go of perfectionism, control, and isolation, and instead choose courage and confidence. She's helped thousands of women manage their inner critic to create loving connections and live their most kick-ass life. Now, here are two fun facts about Andrea that most people probably don't know. When in her free time, she does triathlons because she's a slacker. Oh. And also, she is a former roller derby player. And name was Veronica Vane, which I freaking love. Okay, now here, before we get into it with Andrea, I want to tell you something. She's got three books out, two of which have curse words in the title, which is another reason why we know we're going to love her. but her most recent book is entitled Make Some Noise, Speak Your Mind and Own Your Strength. And if you guys will notice, there ain't no curse word in that title. So Andrea Owen, first of all, welcome to the show.
I'm like ready to defend myself about that.
Second of all, you have some splaining to do.
I know. And I will. Long story short, the original title for my third book was Raise Hell. And the publisher asked me to change it for mostly for advertising reasons, because they can't advertise with a swear word in the title. I know.
Carol can relate to that. Carol wrote a book with the word bitch in it. Happy bitch. And yeah. She's lived that. But you have, so just so that our audience knows, and I guess I'll have to clean this up. Your first book, correct me if I'm wrong, was 52 Ways to Live a Kick-Ass Life.
Correct.
Right? That was your first book. Your second book, which also caught my eye, was How to Stop Feeling Like a word that rhymes with hit, but starts with S-H, right? Frankenberry, I can't say it.
No, you cannot say it. I've checked. You can't.
Okay. All right. So How to Stop Feeling Like 14 Habits That Are Holding You Back from Happiness. And now here we are with Make Some Noise. So Andrea, before we get into the book, tell our audience a little bit more about you, because I absolutely love your website. And you really seem to me that your mission in life is to help women succeed. And I'm sure you're speaking to a ton of women, even though it's 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning right now. So,
well, if they're up at seven, they're high achieving.
Exactly. So how did you get to become Andrea Owen?
Well, it's been a long journey, and some people look at me and they're like, oh my gosh, you have so much confidence and you're so outspoken and direct. And that's always been a part of my personality. But what kicked off my personal development journey specifically was in 2006, I was married previously to someone else. We had been together for over a decade at that point. We were planning on conceiving our first child, and my then husband had an affair with our neighbor and got her pregnant. So I know, I'm going to have to come on separately for that whole story. But then I started dating someone right away, probably too soon, whom, you know, was fantastic. Unfortunately, he had terminal cancer. Fast forward, Andrea, 8 or 9 months. Wait for it. Fast forward 8 or 9 months. I find out that I am pregnant. We weren't married, but I find out I'm pregnant with his child. I also found out he had lied the entire time about having cancer and was doing that to cover up his opioid addiction that I was financing. Because he told me we were going down to Mexico to get his cancer medication for months, and it was actually opioids. I got conned. So it was like my rock bottom moment. fell totally on my face. I was 31. Like, all my friends were like getting married and having babies. Oh. I was the biggest loser. And I felt like such a failure. But to be honest with you, it was the first time I got up and was like, okay, what have I been tolerating in my life? What red flags have I been totally ignoring? And they've been hitting me in the face. So it really started me on this trajectory of taking care of myself, like mentally, emotionally. It was a lot of therapy, still is. And for everyone gasps when they're like, are you all right? Yes, I've been married to someone else who does not have any addictions. We have two children together. I did end up having that baby. My son adopted him legally, and my kids are 14 and 12 now, and I am way better. I'm also sober.
I don't love what happened to you, but I love what you turned it into.
Yeah. Memoir is coming. Memoir is my next book because it's a gnarly story.
Wow.
You know, but I think a lot of people can be inspired and learn from other people's gnarly stories. So I applaud that. That's awesome. So, and I know that you do a lot, like you coach and you mentor and you speak, but what was the impetus for writing your latest book, Make Some Noise?
Well, I'm obsessed with getting to the root of the problem. Like, I want the fastest way to solutions. And, you know, I wrote my first two books and they've both of those books, well, all three of my books have kind of come with me on the trajectory in my own personal development, which I think a lot of nonfiction, specifically self-help authors, that's what happens to us. And when I got to, after I wrote How to Stop Feeling Like You Know What, I thought to myself, you know what? I feel like for women specifically, and men definitely have their own struggles from, you know, social conditioning, but I do help women. A lot of the problems that women come to me for, the perfectionism, the people pleasing, the, you know, the hiding out, the numbing out, the root of that is how we were raised. And we, many times, I'm generalizing here, but many times women are raised to put everyone's feelings before our own, you know, don't rock any boats, don't make a scene, don't speak up too loud, and to really put our comfort last. And that's what creates all these terrible coping mechanisms. And that's what I wanted to write about. And that's what that book is.
Wow.
Yeah. Cause I know I like that because, and I know that I've probably touched on this before, but so like when you use a word like perfectionism, and we typically use that in context as it's a bad thing, but I don't know if people, first of all, I don't think women or men realize when they are being perfectionists. And second, I don't think a lot of people realize that it's not necessarily serving you. So can we talk a little bit about perfectionism? Yeah. Like the good, the bad, the ugly?
Yeah. And, like, you know, I kind of joke that perfectionism, control, and overachieving helped me graduate with honors from college. I always say, and this is a saying in the rooms of 12-step programs, it works until it doesn't. And that's with most of the coping mechanisms that I talk about. It works until it doesn't. And and I love your point because yes, you're right. There is a difference though between perfectionism and what we call, you know, going after excellence. You know, excellence can be a value of yours 100%. But it's what I'm talking about is like when you cross over not only into trying so hard that you are kind of killing yourself with perfectionism, but also the people who avoid things for fear of ridicule, judgment, failure, shame, and they don't go after things because they're worried that they can't do it perfectly, which none of us can. And so that's what gets in the way of them actually living their life and doing a whole bunch of different things. And so perfectionism can manifest differently for, you know, for different people. And also what looks like perfectionism for me might not look like perfectionism for you and the next person. So it really depends on the person.
Do you think it's tied into, because when you describe it that way, it, like, you know, there's another concept, an overarching concept of people who have a fear of success, right? So they can put any roadblock or have a million different excuses. And perfectionism in that context is kind of like an excuse. Like if you can't do it perfectly, don't do it at all. Or I can't start until I know it's absolutely perfect. And like you said, nothing is ever going to be perfect. So just go. Like, I think it's part of that. And why do people have a fear of success?
I love men this and question. Women,
but women I never understood that. So that
I'd
love to hear your answer.
I have thoughts. Okay. So I was listening to this podcast one time and there was a man on there talking about how the fear of success doesn't exist. And what's really happening is just the fear of failure. And I thought to myself, yes, and in my opinion, for women, it's different because success for us, typically, as we climb the corporate ladder, as we become more successful, maybe it's even socially, whatever that might look like, it's riskier for women. Because again, we're taught to maybe you shouldn't stand out so much. You know, like I'm a Gen Xer. I grew up watching Madonna, the trajectory of her success, and also watching her get crucified for her own self-expression, for her own, you know, artistry. And so that's where I think fear of success, you know, kind of stems for specifically for women, as well as especially for working mothers. To try to sustain that, I know, like, as my career has progressed and every year it keeps getting better and better, which is fantastic, which is what we all want. But the anxiety of topping that every year, the anxiety of sustaining that with limited resources, in my opinion, again, I only have the experience of being a woman, so I can only speak for that. Mm-hmm. It's a different flavor. I'll call it that. It's a different flavor of fear when it comes to success for women.
Do you think it's because of what will change as a result?
Yes. Was that a rhetorical question?
No.
Okay. Because I feel like you have thoughts about it.
I have thoughts about it, even though it wasn't my question. So is it because, like, we fear what will change in that we'll lose friends or we'll, like, what do we fear the change? Like, because if you're so uncomfortable that you want to change, like, look at your situation, and a lot of women can relate, right? You hit rock bottom, whatever your rock bottom is. You're so uncomfortable that you want to change, you do something about it. And now look at you. And right. Women have followed that journey. So what are we afraid of changing? If you're uncomfortable enough to want to change, why be afraid of change?
Well, it's in our just natural biology to stay within what is comfortable for us. So this is why you see people, you know, who will win the lottery and they'll go back to being in around the same, you know, financial place that they were before, or even people with weight. You know, we tend to, I mean, this gets into the conversation of self-sabotage, which is also highly individualized, et cetera. But I, you know, again, I can only speak for women and the women that I've worked with and in my community. It's a huge risk for us to step outside of what is deemed quote unquote acceptable for women. I do feel like we've come a long way over the decades. And at the same time, we have a long way to go. So I'm not sure if I'm answering your question specifically, but again, it really can vary from person to person. But what I want to leave people with who are listening is to get curious about it. Like, what is your deepest, darkest fear? You know, what's worst case scenario if you were the most successful that you could ever be? Are you afraid that your family will make fun of you in, like, a backhanded way? Like, ooh, big girl now with her big girl job and her advanced college degrees. Like, that happens in families. Like, they're just joking around, wink, wink, but it makes you feel othered. It makes you feel crappy. Or if your friends have always, you know, been a certain way, and then you decide to really work on your personal development and you want to have these bigger conversations about deeper topics, and they're not, they just don't, it's not in their wheelhouse or destiny. Like, what happens? Like, what are you afraid of? So I love inviting people to just get curious about things. You don't have to come to any hard and fast conclusions. Just get curious.
I love when women we're specifically kind of talking about women, but it happens with men too. Like, I love to inspire or know what it's like to get inspired, to get to the point where you want to change without hitting the rock bottom. Like, listen, you had your rock bottom. Everybody in this conversation has had a rock bottom, but wouldn't it be great if we could incite change without having to get all the way down to the bottom to do it? I don't know if that's possible, but it sure would be helpful to a lot of women, especially younger women today.
I think that's happening. Like, I love that, you know, younger millennials and Gen Z, they are definitely having these conversations way earlier than we ever did, than I ever did. And I'm here for it so much. And I think that, you know, to your point about hitting a rock bottom, yeah, I don't recommend going the path that I did. One star. Wow. Do not recommend. No, I want my money back. But I think that everyone has a different pain tolerance, you know, and like apparently one of my therapists said, you seem to have a very high tolerance for terrible behavior. And I was like, can I put that like on a sash? Like I win. Oh my God. But she's right. And I think everyone sort of has a different threshold from how much BS they're willing to take before they make major changes in their lives. And that's really up to the individual.
So, Andrea, what do you have any like specific tools that you teach in Make Some Noise that, you know, like one or two that we could leave some of our listeners with that they can do? Like, that's the other thing. Mm-hmm. People don't do anything if they think it's hard. Like, this does not have to be hard.
Yeah. And like, I'm going to just be real for a second. It's the only way I know how to be, and kind of give it a little bit of a caveat. What I have come to notice is that for many people, not everyone, but for many people, they love the idea of changing their lives. They read self-help books, they listen to self-empowerment podcasts, et cetera. And, you know, and there are some people who are always listening to it. It's like in their ears when they're at the gym, in the car, on audiobook, et cetera, et cetera. And again, I'm not saying that don't do that unless you plan on changing your life. But I just want you to notice if you are doing that. Those people tend to like the idea of change, but don't take a lot of action. They feel like they're doing a lot because they've read all the, you know, New York Times bestsellers about changing their habits and changing their thoughts, et cetera, et cetera. So I just, if that's you, have a lot of self-compassion, because sometimes when people get to that place, when they realize that that's them, they beat themselves up for it. And you don't need to do that. I just want to point it out that might be you. And you'll change. I was going to say you'll change when you're ready, but I encourage people to make changes before they're ready. So yes, to answer your question, I do have some tools, and I'm going to give some just general ones. The first one is, and this is a step-by-step process I take people through at the very end of every chapter and Make Some Noise. And this applies to anyone, not just women. So the first step is to pay attention. Pay attention to habits that you have that aren't serving you. And some of those habits might run really deep and need to be addressed by a therapist. For instance, you know, there's a lot of talk right now about attachment styles in romantic relationships, whether you're anxious attached or avoidant attached. You know, how do you react when things get really hard with your partner? And just pay attention to that. That's all I'm asking is just notice what kind of habits you have that you don't like anymore, that you're like, gosh, I really wish that I could kind of be the 2.0 version of myself instead of the 1.0. And then from there, I ask people to get curious about it. So you have made no judgments about anything so far. Okay. So just get curious. I wonder why I panic when I have an argument with my partner. I wonder why I immediately think that I'm a failure as a mother when one of my kids is mad at me or they're late to school because of me. I wonder where that came from. What was modeled for me growing up? Did I have any good role models growing up to teach me good behavior? So you're just getting curious. And then the third step, something I just mentioned, is self-compassion. Because typically when people get to that point where they've paid attention and then they've gotten curious and they're like, oh my God, I am a mess, or I have so much work to do. So be easy on yourself. How would you speak to a dear friend? How would you speak to one of your children who was going through something difficult? My hope is that you wouldn't tell them, you just need to get over it. Like, suck it up, buttercup. I mean, I was raised by boomers, and like, no offense to boomers, but like, that's how my mom was like, come on, honey, pick yourself up. Mm-hmm. But go easy on yourself. Like, just go easy on yourself. And then the last step is just to keep the momentum. That's where you keep going as best you can, whether it's going to therapy regularly, having deeper conversations with your friends or your partners or whomever it is that you trust. And then the process starts over again.
Andrea, I love this so much because I'm not sure that there's anybody alive right now who doesn't have some aspect of their themselves or their life that they would like to improve upon. Mm-hmm. And even including somebody who has a lot of self-confidence, and look at John as an example, successful law firm, national celebrity, beautiful, smart, funny. It's so annoying.
And I hate my nose. But anyway, yeah.
but we all deal with that aspect of wanting to be better. And what mm-hmm. I love so much about your approach is that you hear often, just crush your inner critic. And I think sometimes the advice we're given actually creates more internal conflict. We fight against an aspect of ourselves or something within us or something we believe or whatever. And we create more resistance when your approach is, okay, do you have the ability to just raise your awareness? Mm-hmm. Can you be curious? Yeah, we can all be curious. Can you have some compassion with it? And I think the gentleness of your approach is probably massively more effective than a lot of the other advice that's out there. So bravo.
Thank you. I agree with all of that. And I've tried the other way and it did not work. I just kept running in circles. So this way it feels like love and it just works better.
Well, I was getting ready to attack the two of you because Andrea, Carol, that was a really great question. And I was poised and bracing myself for Andrea to say, oh, Carol, what a fantastic question. You did that in a very light way. And I appreciated that. I appreciate that very much. But that is a good question, because that's the other thing. And you were really talking to me, I think, without realizing it, when you said, you know, if you read all the self-help books and you listen to all the podcasts and then you don't do crap about it. Well, hey, I know.
Yeah, I've been watching y'all.
Yeah, did you notice how quiet Jonna and I both got when you were talking about that?
Felt the energy shift.
Oops,
shifty eyes.
Exactly. But I do, you know, it really is great for people to look. That's what we should make a commitment to do. Like when we pick up your book and read all of your books and any other books that are intended to help us, actually do the things that mm-hmm. the book is telling us to do. And I think it can make a tremendous difference.
Or just pick one thing. You know, I'm a huge fan of James Clear's work around habits. Like maybe it's just habits. Yeah, for 2022. I'm trained and certified in the work of Dr. Brené Brown. So maybe you focus on vulnerability in just your romantic relationship or just your friendships. Or I think we also can get a little bit overzealous. Like I'm raising my hand over here too, and create these to-do lists and goals that are just enormous. And I also want to mention that a lot of our habits are stemmed from trauma, like hard things that have happened, whether it's in our childhood or even like young adulthood, whether we've been divorced or had our heart broken or lost someone close to us or been abused. And it's not as easy as just saying like, I'm just going to change my thoughts. I feel like that is insulting and dismissive and dehumanizing to people who have experienced, and listen, it's most of us who have experienced real mm-hmm. heartache and have, you know, trauma isn't necessarily about what happened to us. It's what it does to our bodies, and it stays until we process it with a professional. And so I'm all for both. I'm all for like cheering people on and thinking positive and all of that. But also there's this bigger, deeper stuff that needs to be addressed.
Absolutely. You are a sister from another minister, Andrea. I absolutely agree with you.
I knew it. Yeah.
And I feel like your books are like taken together are a blueprint for really positive change. So I know we have to wrap up with you, and this interview went really fast, which is always the great sign of a good interview. So we really appreciate this. And I know that, and our listeners are going to want to know, you also do coaching. You do have a podcast, you do keynotes. So what is the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Probably to find all of those things is my website, super easy, AndreaOwen.com. No S on the end of that.
Okay. Yeah. And they can connect with you in all of those ways. And I'm sure you're all over social media too. And I was looking at some of your podcast episodes, and we've had some similar guests on, like Judy Holler we recently had on.
Just recently. Yeah. She's also a sister from another mister.
Yep.
Yes.
She's fantastic.
And, and we've had on Jen Sincero. I know that she's endorsed, your book. So fantastic. It was really great talking with you. And again, we've been talking with Andrea Owen. She's got 3 books out, 2 with curse words, but don't ignore the third one, her most recent book called Make Some Noise. When did your book come out? The most recent book?
It came out August 31st of 2021.
Awesome. So I encourage you. Oh, so do you have it in audio version yet?
We do. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I read it.
Okay. Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, good. That's even better. I love that. All right. So you're going to hear it if you get the audio version in your voice. Andrea Owen, thank you so much. Author of Make Some Noise and creator of podcasts and her keynotes and her coaching. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Andrea, very much for joining us this morning. And we are not done yet here with Happy Hour. Still more to come. Segment number three is on the way with John Spilborn and Carol Pesci. And we will be right back. So stick with us.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with John and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And welcome back again to Happy Hour here one more time this morning for segment number three of our show with John Spilborn and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Frank and Mary.
Frank and Mary. Oh my God. I don't think that's probably our best one yet.
Sounded to me like you were 5 minutes behind me.
Yeah, I was going to say, it depends on what your version of your definition of best is there, Spielborg.
Wow. You guys need to get your ears checked. Maybe I should send you to Dr. Rubenstein. You can open up your ear holes and dig in there a little bit.
Yes. Just what I need. Yes, give me the Jimmy Durante ear if you could. Yes, I would love that.
He was up my nose with chopsticks.
Oh.
Anyway. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much to Andrea for joining us here this morning. I know you guys, you two of you certainly enjoyed that conversation with her. And she was very forthcoming and very, very energetic.
Yeah.
No, well, I mean, what do you expect from somebody who does triathlons and used to be a roller derby? Chick, you know what I love? And it's so funny, Carol, because her backstory is so similar to yours, right?
And yeah, and hers is a little more intense, but yeah.
Well, you know, that she was cheated on and then rising from the ashes. And I love that message. We've had several guests on who have risen from the ashes. And I just want to make sure that everybody knows you can rise from the ashes. Yeah. Like, you don't have to stay down. And it's important to, that's why the guests that we have on and the books that we read and even our own, what we try to encourage people to do is so important, because listen, you only live once. Technically, I mean, you might come back as a beetle or a dog, but you know, like, let's make the most of the time we have here, because none of that is promised. So I think that's why we do.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were down there, but I kind of want to expand on something you were saying to her during the interview, but it wasn't really the right time for me to pop in and add to it. But you asked.
Oh, was it something brilliant that I said?
You're always brilliant.
Sorry,
you asked her, why is it that, you know, so often we have to hit rock bottom before we learn, before we change, before we make, you know, massive efforts, and that you wish we didn't have to.
Right.
And maybe there's those opportunities or lives or people that are able to do that. But I have really, really come to learn. In fact, book number three is coming out this year for me, and book number four is already starting to form for me. And it's on this very premise. And I do talk about it in Hello Beautiful. That the tough things we go through have not weakened us. It's only our perception. It's not what happens to us. It's what we choose to do with it. And the very thing, I hope there's people in the sound of my voice right now that this will reach. The very thing you think is the source of your disadvantage or your weakness in life, whether it's an aspect of yourself, your life, or your past, could very well end up being that which catapults you to a life of meaning and getting fulfillment. When you start asking new questions, instead of why me, what can I do this? What good can I create with this? And start, instead of pushing away and wishing for the impossible that it never happened, because it did, start getting curious, just like Andrea said, start getting curious with it, start getting compassionate with it, and start saying, okay, how can I leverage this? Maybe it's not something that happened to me. Maybe it happened for me. And I'm not minimizing anything that anybody's gone through that was difficult, because we all have had our stuff, but maybe that which what you've been wishing against is the very thing that will serve you most when you open your heart to it. Okay. I'm dropping the mic.
You know what? And I support that mic drop. If I weren't so jealous, I'd be like, Carol, that was freaking brilliant, but I'm not going to say that. because I'm jealous.
I'm serious. Those tough things that we go through, they were for me. And, you know, you are not defined by what happens to you. You are defined by what you choose to do with it and who you choose to be in relationship to. Okay, now really dropping the mic.
I love it. So tell me one thing before you totally drop the mic and before we got to go until next week. Do you have a title for book three?
Book four. Book three is coming out soon.
Right.
Book three is coming out soon. And book four, yes, 100%. I have the title. I'm not going to say it on air. I will text you and you're going to freaking love it.
Okay, but wait. So book three, the next book that's coming out is book three. I do not know the title. I do not know the title of that book, but I want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
I do know the title of that book. Oh, okay. Because I was going to ask you if that title has a curse word in it.
Neither book three or four coming have a curse word in it. You'll remember. I've sent you the cover. The cover's almost 100% design. Anyway.
I remember sending me the cover and I remember loving it and I don't remember what the name is. All right, you can send it to me again. Anyway, so all right. Well, I guess that's a wrap on that mic drop.
Yes, nicely
just
done
when you
there,
think
Pesky.
I'm going to stop.
Yeah, that's right. Jonna, just when you think she can't get any more brilliant, Jonna gets more jealous.
That's right. Well, right. When she goes high, I go low. Okay.
There you go. All right. Well, listen, again, thank you to Andrea Owen for joining us today. And for Carol and for Jonna Madonna, Attorney to the Stars. That is her new Zoom name, by the way, apparently. I'm Frankenberry. I want you all to have a good and a safe week ahead. What?
I don't know what just happened.
I don't either.
I don't know what just happened either, but why don't you shut up so we can sign off?
Okay. Bye.
Hey, all right, everybody, have a good week, and we'll talk to you again next Sunday, same time. Be good.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.